closer.
Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No,
I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta...
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral. Okay.
Hi, everybody, and a very pleasant Wednesday to you, wherever you may be. Hi, everybody, and a very pleasant Tuesday evening to you, wherever you may be.
And a very pleasant evening to you, wherever you may be. Down here, we would greet you by saying good night, Mike.
Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. At 10 minutes after 9 in Atlanta, Georgia, Henry Aaron has eclipsed the mark set by Babe Ruth.
3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first. Behind the bag. It gets through Buckner. Here comes 9 and the Mets win it. And look who's coming up.
It's to Larkin. One on a high fly ball into left center, and the Minnesota Twins are the champions of the world. And the Toronto Blue Jays come back with 3 in the bottom of 9th inning to become the world champions yet again. And the Atlanta Braves are the champions of the world.
I was pretty young. I must have been, I would say, about 13. And there he was. The way you would imagine him. There was Babe Ruth. And I can see and hear him now. Just a minute. And he reached into one of the side pockets of that camel hair coat. And he took out what I would say was a stack of business cards. They were blank on one side. And on the other side was a stamped Babe Ruth signature. He just handed out the business card. And you might say... Did you get one? You bet I did.
Hi, I'm Vin Scully, and as you may or may not know, I've spent more than half my life covering the Dodgers. That's a long time. And the one thing I've learned that the Dodgers, bless them, have a habit of making things exciting and memorable, whether they win or lose.
Sandy into his windup. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed the perfect game.
Congratulations, and of course, everybody in the baseball world.
Got him swinging, and he has his no-hitter.
Clayton Kershaw pitches a no-hitter, a career-high 15 strikeouts.
Why me? Why, with the millions and millions of more deserving people, would a red-haired kid with a hole in his pants and his shirt tail hanging out, playing stickball in the streets of New York, wind up in Cooperstown? Why me, indeed?
Yeah, it's been a great ride. I've enjoyed every minute of it. We still have a little ways to go. Whatever happens, I've sure been thankful for the ride.
To quote Harry, let me hear.
Oh man! And now, and just like that, Vin's gone after all those years. Welcome to Sportsaholics. This is episode number 116. And look, we're playoffs baseball starting. The season just ended. It's going to be kind of a baseball heavy episode. But I watched the game and Vin's last game, and I wanted to start off the episode with that clip because we all heard Vin Scully, even if we weren't Dodgers fans, especially for me growing up in the 80s and 90s. You know, like Dwight Clark, he called that catch, you know, numerous World Series. The guy was just everywhere. And just learned from one of the best growing up with Red Barber, who was, and I picked this up from Ken Burns' baseball documentary. So Red Barber was this guy from the South. And he comes up and he starts announcing Dodgers games and just kind of brings this Southern dialect into New York City that people hadn't heard before. And it was real relaxing and calming and kind of the opposite of New York City. And so there was something about that style that Vin navigated to and sort of adopted. And Vin's motto was that he didn't want to really call the game. He wanted you to listen to him as though you were his best friend, sitting right next to him, and he'd be explaining, filling you in. But over 67 years, I mean, he was with the Dodgers from 1950 until now. Is over 8,000 games and just incredible. And having lived in and around Los Angeles for almost 12 years now, I immediately fell in love with Vin when I came to Los Angeles. One, I was excited to have a West Coast version of Kansas City to root for in colors and everything else and similar fonts as the Royals Dodgers, you know, uniforms are. Come to find out later, that was an intentional move on Ewing Kauffman's part. He designed the Royals uniforms after the Los Angeles Dodgers uniforms. Also, Chavez Ravine, Kauffman, he took that with Kauffman Royal Stadium and also took elements of Chavez Ravine, which the biggest one being every seat in both stadiums all point to second base. So there are a lot of similarities between the two clubs. So I naturally adopted them, hated the Angels anyway. And, you know, listening to the game, stuck in traffic, so many afternoons driving down the 101 South in the middle of the summer, just gridlocked, you know. Just, I mean, any of you that have been to LA know that it's a minimum 45-minute commute anywhere. You could live 4 miles away or 18 miles away. Somehow, it's going to still take both people 45 minutes to get to this location. But just so many afternoons listening to Ben in the car, stuck in traffic, at home, going to Dodger Stadium, the pregame, just everything. So, Ben, you will be missed. And at the end of this episode this week, I'm just going to replay the last half inning that Vin calls. It was in San Francisco, and though I'm not a Giants fan, and in fact, one could say I even hate the Giants. Yeah, I do, actually. I'm broadcasting that out. Hate the Giants. But they were very gracious. They did a great job, and as it turns out, Vince Scully actually was a Giants fan as a kid, and it was 80 years to the day, which is spectacular, crazy to think of. So as a kid, on October 2nd, 1937, he was walking down the street, and it was game two of the World Series, I believe, as the story goes. And so the Giants are getting destroyed by the Mets. They lost, or the Yankees. It was like 15-4 or something like that. But he felt so bad for the Giants that he instantly became a baseball Giants fan. And then so he really did a great job of tying that back in, and just like the date of it was fantastic. And it was really incredible broadcast. Again, I will play the last half inning at the end of this episode, but I would suggest going online, you know, just watching the game, listening to the game. There's a bunch of great stories. Willie Mays pops in for a photo op. Just a lot of kudos from other broadcasters, family members, things like that. It was just good. Good as a sports fan. It's just, you need to watch it. This is a legend that's no longer around. And next year, when it's time for Dodger baseball, it's not going to be the same. Though Vin assured us that it would be, it is not going to be the same. But on the other side of this, I now look at in Kansas City with Denny Matthews. I mean, he's been with the Royals like 40. I mean, he's encroaching on Vin Scully-type territory, both in the Hall of Fame. Denny Matthews has been at it for a long time, kind of has that same old soothing grandfather voice about him too. So kind of feel lucky about that. Not as I don't like him as much as Ben, but just anyone that's been at it that long, I got respect for. I mean, the man's in the Hall of Fame. All right. So real quick, this week's episode, we got Chris Kamler, the author of The Silence, the Series, The Season of Sung Woo, on Twitter at The Fake Ned. Hilarious, great author, great baseball mind, and can put the two together on paper, and it's funny and it's entertaining. I had him on this week just to sum up the 06, or I'm sorry, the 16 2016 season. Talk about Royals and then other, you know, baseball in general. Really good talk. And then from there, got comedian Davey Wester on, who has just relocated up to the Twin Cities, which I know you're saying You mean Kansas City? No. Apparently in Minneapolis, St. Paul, they called themselves the Twin Cities. And I will always argue that no. The real Twin Cities, if you're asking me, I grew up in the real Twin Cities, Kansas City. It's the same name. Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas. It's the same name. You do not get more twin than the same name. St. Paul, Minneapolis. Those don't even sound like they're the same, like, culture. Like, are you adopted? Are you even, like, blood relatives? Minneapolis, St. Paul, Kansas City. They're identical twins. So the real Twin Cities. But anyway, Davey, I digress on that a little bit. But so Davey is going to come on just talking about being in the Twin Cities, dealing with Vikings fans and also the frustrations, because he's a Mariners guy, a Washington guy. And so the frustrations of yet another Mariners season that does not end in a postseason berth. But all right, real quick before we go to break, guys, go to onelovely.com, onelovely.com. Great shirts. They can print up some for yourself. Just, you know, I think the minimum's like 30, 40 shirts, something like that. They do a great job. I recommend hitting them up. Also, if you're hungry and you're down in Southern California, down in San Diego, La Jolla, Ocean Beach, Pacific Beach, in that area, by all means, go to Don Carlos Taco Shop. It's right on Pearl Street, a block down the street from the La Jolla Comedy Store. On Twitter, at Eat a Burrito, Eat a Burrito on Twitter. By all means, go down there, check them out. The Trevino Burrito is fantastic. And then while you're there, if you're in San Diego, just go ahead and hit up Seize the Day Boat Rentals. Go take a boat around the bay. Go in and out from the Coronado Bridge. I've done it on jet skis. It's fantastic. It's really, you see a lot of really cool stuff. And that's Seize the Day Boat Rentals. That's S-E-A-S. Seize, get it? It's a play on words. Seize the Day Boat Rentals, San Diego. All right, guys, we're going to go to break. And when we get back, we'll be talking with my man, Chris Camler. We are back on Sportaholics, and we're with our favorite. I don't even want to limit it to just Royals writer. Our favorite baseball writer, Chris Camler. How are you doing, man? I know it's not the best situation with the Royals not making it into the playoffs for the first time in 2 years. But aside from that.
Yeah. You know, it's good. Thanks for having me on, John. You kind of saw this coming after the dismal July, and so it wasn't really that big of a surprise for folks that were watching it pretty closely. You know, we weren't officially eliminated until like five games to go in the season, so that's not bad. A little disappointed that we only ended up at 581-81, but you know, I'll tell you, you look at the season you know, there's still a lot to be happy about.
It's not a losing season. So when they have a winning season next year, you can say four consecutive winning seasons, can't you?
Right. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
I think we're going to be technical, and I know Dayton Moore will be.
Early money would absolutely say that we're headed straight for four winning seasons for sure.
Now, listeners nationwide. Okay, yeah, you understand I'm a passionate Royals fan, but this is just more, you know, if you're a Phillies fan right now, or, you know, if you're, I was going to use the Marlins, I mean, I don't even want to go there right now just with everything that's just happening. Let's just say the Padres, but this is what you do with your franchise, and this is how you slowly over time, you know, you invest in young guys that can come up and start producing, and then you start plucking free agents, and then people want to slowly start coming to your team. But as far as next year's team goes, it's promising. Everyone's got another year's experience. You've got some youngsters. I know at the end of the year, you're going to see guys like Hunter Dozier that came up that, you know, it's one of those situations where you only have nine places on the field to play these guys and, you know, who's going to be riding the bench. But just to recap this season, though, it's all injuries. You got Moustakas going down, and Cuthbert played all right. He played great as an average, you know, third baseman, maybe slightly above average, but he's not as good as Moustakas. And then Gordon goes down. The pitching staff never was really there. And unfortunately, Joaquin Soria, I think with him not on the roster, I think we have six more wins, and then maybe we're playing like a play-in game or something like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just dreaming, but your thoughts on that.
Let's stick a pin in Soria for a minute, and let's kind of talk about the injuries. There were a ton of injuries. The Moustakas one really, that whole June, July time frame, the team was racked by injuries. Both Gordon and Moose were out at that time. Kane was kind of so-so. The whole team, and Salvador Perez actually came out in an interview and said that, you know, the team is tired. You have that postseason hangover that, you know, even great teams like the Giants of the last 5-6 years, you know, they were never able to go back-to-back like the 14 and 15 Royals did, back-to-back World Series, because of that hangover. And so 3 years in a row, it would be, you know, I think the Oakland A's were one of the last teams to do that, and that was in the 70s. So it's just really, really hard to go back-to-back-to-back. There is a fatigue factor. You don't get as much off season. You know, these are all nice problems to have, but you really saw it take a toll in July when the team played flat. They only won 7 games in July.
It was really, I mean, July was the highlight of July was just Cueto getting taken full advantage of by Hosmer and Salvi in the All-Star game. And that, you know, from a PR and a fan standpoint, that was the Band-Aid for July as a Royals fan. Like, okay, you know what? We went to the All-Star game and we did our thing and, you know, screw Johnny Cueto. And that was that. But then you look back and, yeah, you look at a schedule and you only have 7 wins. And all of a sudden, I think they got to 11, 12 back. And then they're fighting. And then we enter into August. Then we come across the Rally Mantis. Now, explain the Rally Mantis to the listener that may not be from the Midwest.
Okay, so especially for your guys on the West Coast, you guys are going to be familiar with the Rally Monkey, you know, of the Angels, of the great Angels teams of the early 2000s. Something inevitably with some of these magical teams, and I include the 2014 Royals with Sung Woo's visit, and you know, there's something happens. Maybe a cat runs across the field. Maybe a monkey does a little dance. Maybe there's a goat that isn't allowed in. Something catapults that team to make behaviors that they didn't make before. So on or around the beginning of September, there was a praying mantis that walked across the railing at the dugout at Kauffman Stadium, and it just kind of sat there. And it sat there for like 2 days, and nobody messed with it. Nobody touched it. The team won 2 games in a row, and you know, the team had been kind of 500 through August, and then all of a sudden they kind of adopted this mantis, and the broadcast kept showing it, and the team kept winning. They'd rattle off, you know, 4 of 5, 5 of 6. They kept showing this praying mantis. Actually, they put it in a cage at one point in time. They went on a road trip. The mantis died, so they found another mantis.
So there were two rally mantises, correct?
There were two rally mantises. You know, and it got a little silly. I was at the grocery store today, and they had the rally mantis T-shirts on discount. So that tells you that, you know, that it wasn't quite as successful as maybe the rally monkey or whatever, but it was pretty funny, and you know, everybody was kind of energized by that, just because it was silly, and everybody knew that You know, it was just kind of goofy, but the team kept winning. And that's one of the great things about baseball is how superstitious it is. You know, hey, if I use, you'll see guys use different guys' bats. You know, hey, if I got a couple of hits with that guy's bat, maybe I'll just keep using it. You know, there's no difference in bats. There's no difference in whatever. Hey, if a bug crawls across the ground when I get a triple, maybe it'll do it again. So that's some of the fun stuff of baseball.
And that's why I love baseball. Kansas City, more than I think any other city, has really adopted this WWE, like Monday Night Raw, bring signs and dress up like put antlers on, wear a rally mantis mask, paint your face. Like, it's a real festive environment, and the fans are so hungry to participate and show their fandom. It's almost like football, if not even better than some football cities, the Royals fans are, which in baseball you do not see that at all. But they got all hyped up. Listen to this. 18-4. This was an article posted on August 30th. 18-4 since the rally mantis had appeared on, you know. So that, I mean, that's a historic type run. And I think for the Royals franchise, I think it actually might have been a historic or tying run or pretty close if it wasn't. So, I mean, it wasn't just this cute little thing. They tore off 18 out of 22. I mean, and that's Moneyball. You know, Brad Pitt, let's make a movie type of a run right there that the A's had back in, what was that, 01? I always forget the year, but either way. It was an incredible run. It wasn't for nothing.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. And, you know, it was just, you mentioned the crowds here, and this is the, they just announced it was 2.5 million
Amazing.
People through the turnstile. Second best only to last year, obviously, with the World Series. They just announced the ratings. Kansas City has the highest ratings of any team in Major League Baseball. People are working their evenings around watching the Royals. And this is a college basketball town. It's a college football town, with Missouri and Kansas being both close by. And so this is a town that likes to go and tailgate. We like to party. We like to have a good time. And we like to... that was what was so great about last year, is that it really opened up a vein of blue in this town. That I know you and I, both growing up here, we knew that this was a baseball town this whole time, but you just never saw it tangibly represented. But you did, you know, when you saw 800,000 people go down to the Union Station parade, and you know, you saw all this stuff in this town. So. I think at the end of the day, we're not going to look at the season, you know, poorly. Yeah, it was a little bit disappointing that they didn't make it to the postseason again. But you know, even the Mets couldn't win the division. They had to come in as the wild card. So it's a lot harder when people are aiming for you, for sure.
And I was kind of stuck because I never ever want to root for the Cardinals in any situation, but I found myself. And as we record this, you know, the Giants have clinched and now going to the wild card here in a couple days. But I was almost like I was torn because I really actually did not want the Giants to make it because of this every 2 year thing. And they're always like, oh, we got the every 2 year. I just want the every 2 year thing to stop right now. So Mets, please, whatever you got to do, like go pull Doc Gooden out of a rehab, give him some crack. Put him out there, like, in relief, whatever. I know their pitching staff is demolished, but just Noah Syndergaard to Bartolo Colon for an inning to game over. Whatever they got to do. I just can't see the Giants in the World Series again on an even year. And it's going to drive me nuts.
Well, that wild card game is going to be really difficult for Royals fans to watch because it's Syndergaard versus Bumgarner. And it's our two... arch nemesis over the last 2 years in the World Series, as you know, some of the greatest pitchers in baseball today. That's gonna be a hell of a game, and I think Royals fans might be watching it from under the covers because of both those guys carved us up in the postseason for sure.
Okay, and now that the Royals actually have a legitimate ace, because if you go back and listen to I don't know if it was like 15 or 20 up at the beginning of the season, and I'd ask you about Danny Duffy, and they had stuck him in the bullpen, and Danny Duffy loved the bullpen. He's like, this is where I want to be, is the bullpen. Dayton Moore, on the other hand, is quoted in the paper saying, no, Danny Duffy's a starter. He's a starter. We're going to work it out. He's a starter. And so I just, those words are obviously conflicting. And then lo and behold, come June, through injuries and just him kind of figuring some stuff out. I mean, he, at one point, and I mean, whether it was earned or not, but he was kind of tossed around and like, hey, this guy could possibly win the Cy Young. Yeah, he would have to win like eight or, you know, finish out the season, you know, with eight straight wins. But a legitimate all-star, obviously opening day starter. With that now in the mix, and that takes pressure off of Ian Kennedy, Ventura. I'm a huge Jason Vargas fan. Is he coming back next year? Is he under contract?
He is. Oh. He actually made a start at the end of the season, the last week of the season. He made a brief start, and he looked pretty good. So he's back from injury. You're right. I think our starting rotation is going to be pretty good out of spring training. Now, any baseball fan will tell you that by, you know, May, that could all be, you know, out the window. But I really like Duffy coming out of the starter's role. Let me riddle you this. Maybe, and now our big problem right now is Yordano Ventura. And he is almost on the same trajectory as Danny Duffy was 5 years ago. Duffy had an attitude. Duffy was having control issues. Duffy was unable to kind of figure some things out. I haven't heard this bandied about, but maybe Ventura goes to the bullpen for a couple of years, tries to figure some stuff out, gets his head right, and comes in the seventh or eighth inning with a 99-mile-an-hour fastball and, you know, carves up, and maybe that shores up the back end of the bullpen a little bit. But I feel a lot better about our pitching staff next year. We've got Vargas back.
Strom.
Kennedy and Duffy. Strom. A couple other guys that will probably mix in there a little bit. But I think we'll be in much better shape. I'm much more comfortable today than I was, you know, October 1st of, or November 1st of last year, talking about next year's rotation for sure.
You know, and with the Ian Kennedy signing, which was heavily scrutinized because it was 4 years, or it was like a 5 year, 70 or 80 million. I mean, it was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. It was like 15 or 16. But look, into the season 12-12, I'm gonna guess, you know, something around like a 3.54 or low 4 ERA. It's just, but it's consistency. It's him and Cole Hamels, a few other pitchers that for five straight seasons have gone 200 innings. And so that the value in that for a team is incredible, you know, and it's hard to find. I mean, there's only four or five other pitchers that can say that. And so, and he's 500, not a losing record, but to have him next year as a number four would be ideal. Ideally, maybe a number five, but I mean, I don't know if they can find four other pitchers that are better than him, but a deeper bullpen. Soria's just gotta go. I don't know why they brought him back. I don't know if it was a nostalgia thing or if Dayton Moore felt bad about something from back in 08 or 09 or so. I don't know, but I don't see why. He's gotta go.
Yeah, I was one of the last guys in his corner too, and you can't be in the Joaquin Soria corner right now around this town. But you're right, he gave up the lead in 12 games. If he does just half as crappy, we're talking about the postseason right now because you win six more games and that's about where we finished out. But yeah. You know, it's
not fair. I mean, a couple of those games were tight. And he was put into some bad situations too, where he did give up the lead. But then there was a lot of them where you were just sitting there like, "What are you doing? Is there nobody else that can come in?" You know. But it's just
so here's the deal. You've got Ned Yost, who is so loyal to his guys. And for the most part, that has worked out for him in just about every case. Look at Alcides Escobar in 2013. He let him get at-bats in late innings. He let him, and he failed miserably. And after every game, he says, no, he says, there's going to be a time where he, you know, this all pays off. Game one of the World Series, first pitch, he hits it inside the park home run. OK, Okay, so Mike Moustakas is another guy.
Oh, great example. Great example.
Could not figure it out. Could not figure it out. And all of a sudden, last spring training, he just completely retools himself. He becomes his opposite field hitter for the first 2 months of the season until he goes down with injury. Ned Yost, for two full years, was criticized about taking him out of the lineup, putting him down to AAA. Alex Gordon is another guy where they, you know, send him down. So it has paid off a lot. And if you're a guy and you're in a trench or a foxhole with somebody, you want Ned Yost to have that level of confidence for you. In this case, it just didn't work out. And that's okay, but you've got to be able to correct that. So Joaquin Soria is either going to need to be fixed or gone next year, because he's not going to get 13 chances
I hope not. They just need to bury him.
Because they will burn the place down if that happens.
Give him
public enemy number one.
Give him the Moylan role, or like if someone's hurt, like just I don't want to see him more than
Chris
Young
role.
Yeah.
And he's another problem.
Yeah. I don't feel as bad about Chris Young, because like he did so much for us, you know, and so it's like, yeah, you can be bad. We don't care. You've earned the right to be bad in my eyes as a Royals fan. But I don't care that Soria was an all-star for us back in whenever. It's like none of that matters anymore. That was a long time ago. And so just I don't need you to lose blow 12 games. it's just horrible. So what was the mood around the city? Let me get, because I was back in the Midwest a few weeks ago down in Springfield, and I bumped into a lot of Royals fans. I mentioned it on stage a few times. And which surprised me, because that's that's the minor league city for the Cardinals. But what was the when we finally were eliminated? What was the talk around town? Was people hanging their heads, or were they like, you know, we're going to get them next year? What's the mood like?
You know, July and August was really kind of, we started to talk about the Chiefs again, you know, and they're coming off their playoff season. September was all Royals, man. We were back in. We were all bought back in. Maybe thinking that they could do make a run. When we got eliminated last week, it was obviously a down day. But it really, I didn't hear a lot of complaining on sports radio. I didn't hear a lot of complaining on Twitter, believe it or not. And I think really when you look at it, it started trending locally here in Kansas City, was thank you Royals, because the last 3 years, you know, dating back to that last month run in 2013, the last 3.5 years have just been ridiculous in this town. It has given us renewed energy. It has, in many ways, brought this town back from not only a sports coma, but, you know, there's an economic boom going on downtown. There's a lot of things going on that I think the Royals played a huge part in, because folks were excited to go out to restaurants again and excited to go watch their baseball team and excited to get out from anything other than just Chiefs Sundays, which is 8 days a year. And so you saw this influx of participation and activity and civic pride, and it's a really nice time. So that we spent that entire week on Twitter really celebrating the fact that this ridiculous course of events over the last 3 years has even happened, because it's just been so much fun. And you know, doggone it, we'll have to watch the postseason from home this year, but golly,
think of the savings. That's the way I'm like, think how much money we're saving that the Royals aren't in the playoffs. I saved probably $2,500, $3,000 minimum.
I heard a lot of that, and there are still a few of us that are whittling down our credit card bills from last October when we were trying to get postseason tickets.
Just so back to back.
I could do without ramping those back up again.
And this was, listeners, this was the most, so 14 shows up, the wild card game, no playoff baseball game in 29 years in Kansas City, 30 years, No, I'm sorry, 29 or whatever it had been. But anyway, the tickets just went up. It was the most expensive playoff ticket anywhere. And then once the Angels series started, And it just kept escalating and escalating. I mean, you're talking, you know, $200-$300 more than any other city, New York, anywhere. It was ridiculous. And then so when 15 came around, everyone just started pricing their tickets from where they left off last season. And all the fans were just like, yeah, I guess that's what we're going to have to pay. So here you go. I'm going to the game. I'm going to every game, in fact.
And that's what it was. Is I work, my boss, they in 2014, they had to buy a season ticket plan kind of at the last minute in order to get, you know, playoff tickets. And so they're on the hook for 2015. They're on the hook for playoff and World Series tickets in 2015. So, you know, we all spent some dollars with a comma in the middle, and that's many of us are still paying the rest of that off. So,
well,
we can save up for 2017. That's the joy of it.
Amen. And that's the other thing, listener, what you can do to help Chris pay off some of his debt. He's actually authored a great book called The Silence, The Series, and The Season of Sung Woo. If you go to KamlerBook.com, KamlerBook.com, you can pick up a copy. Also, I think on Amazon. So if you got Amazon Prime, you know, that's not a bad way to go either. But so, yeah, by all means, go pick up a copy. It's a great book. You mentioned Sung Woo earlier in the interview. He was a Korean royal super fan that visited Kansas City. And I believe it was August of 2014. And when he touched down in Kansas City, the Royals refused to lose, and no one wanted him to go home. He ended up coming back, and it's a great story, and you can read all about it again. The Silence, The Series, and The Season of Sung Woo. And also on Twitter, The Fake Ned, FAKNED, The Fake Ned. Follow Chris on Twitter if you don't mind. Anything else that I forgot? Because you're hilarious to follow on Twitter. You always got great stuff. Anywhere else the listener can track you down?
No, we're just gosh, you know, we've got all of October now to ourselves to do stuff. I'm a buddy of mine and I are starting a podcast called Season One, and we're going to be looking at famous TV shows that only lasted one season. So Freaks and Geeks, Firefly, a couple other shows. We're going to be kind of doing a little podcast. Nope. I haven't been podcasting in a while, so I'm trying to.
I like it.
I kind of get in the itch again.
So, and likely so. You're entertaining. And what about Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place? Did that go for a second season, or would that qualify? I'm not sure.
That'd be a good one too. Yeah, only went one season.
I mean, you've got a good cast, and that's a great. And I mean, that's some good culture. You know, people be like, "Oh my God, I forgot about that show." Let me know when you get some episodes posted, and I'll be sure and retweet and share that out. But Chris,
absolutely, no, it's been fun, man. Thank you for having me on, and happy to come on anytime.
Absolutely, man. And in case we don't get you on before the new year, you have a great rest of 2016, and we'll be sure and talk some spring training soon.
You too, man. Hey, only about 150 days away.
Absolutely. And we are counting, listeners. We are counting. As Royals fans, we're counting. We are not fair weather, but foul weather fans. Like brothers in arms in the streets and the stands. There's magic in the ivy in the old scoreboard. The same when I stared at as a kid keeping score. In a world full of greed, I could never want more. Someday we'll go out. Thanks, Chris, for coming on. I just appreciate it. I'll call up and I'll say, hey, can I get like, you got like 10 minutes for me? And then eventually it'll turn into 25, 30, 40 minutes, 50, you know. But you know what? We've got a lot going on next season. I like our chances. We've got like a young core, but it, you know, it's all just in the pipeline. There's some youngsters coming in that can fill in the gaps for the Royals, and I like our chances moving forward. Dayton Moore knows what he's doing, and I just look forward to having you back on in the spring and saying, hey, I like our chances. Yeah, Cleveland is good. Detroit, yeah, sure, it's going to be good. Minnesota, who knows? White Sox, probably not. But what I, as a lifelong, hey, this team's going to suck every year, it's just, it's great. This is like the fifth year in a row we can go for to be 500, which that's a victory. That's a victory for me. And it, and just coming out of San Diego, like all the, it's just the loot. Just the environment of losing is, and you just get tired of it. Really, I mean, you can only take so much, and that's like with Chargers fans. They've just, they're gonna lose their team. Probably they already pay a ton of money to go to the games, which for the most part are just home games for whoever's visiting, because there's already gonna be more fans for the opposing team there, aside from a Jacksonville or something. But if a big team's coming in, Chiefs, Broncos, Patriots, Bears, it's almost like a 2-to-1 ratio from visiting fans to actual Chargers fans. But they're about done. And then this video just surfaced a couple yesterday of a Chargers fan who's just had enough. I had to bring this up because It's great.
Okay, I'm on.
So I just got done watching the Chargers lose again. Yeah, bro. In the fourth quarter because we're not disciplined enough.
Not at all, bro.
Our coaches don't have any balls.
None.
The coaching is so predictable.
Shitty coaching.
Anybody in the United States that plays Madden can win this.
Dude, totally.
No disrespect to Philip Rivers. This is more of a disrespect to the San Diego
No disrespect
Chargers.
To Rivers, and dude. You're awesome, dude.
My family and I have been diehard family members, or diehard Charger family
for years, dude.
Forever,
dude.
Literally.
Like, way
since
back
I
when.
I
know Stan
Here's
fucking Humphreys,
right here,
dude.
I'm over it. We are
dude,
done.
Dude, fucking
we
burn
no
it. Put that lighter fluid on that stuff.
Fuck Stadium C.
Yep.
You motherfuckers can go somewhere else. But you know why? Because someone else can take your losing ass fucking
yep.
ways and your
Tell
losing
him,
ass record with you.
Tell
and
him, Danny.
Fuck you, Dean Spanos, for letting this shit
fuck
happen,
you, Dean.
You piece of shit motherfucker.
That's right. Here, dude, take this lighter. Yeah, here you go. Take this lighter. Yeah, burn that shit, dude.
You got it?
Dude, that's a sweet wife beater you got on there.
There you go, man.
Dude, you guys can lick my fucking nuts.
Lick them. Lick them.
And fuck everything that you guys
fuck
are about. You know why? This is money that I've spent, dude, watching you. I went down there
That's
and spent
right,
over
man.
$150 every fucking weekend at the bar.
At the bar, bro.
Because we don't get you in Vegas because I won't pay for DirecTV. And you know
won't
what, dude?
Do it, dude?
That's what I think of you. You think of us like we're a piece of shit? There you go, dude. You're the piece
That's
of shit
That's right,
now.
Dude. Suck it, Spanos.
Fuck you guys. Haul ass. Go to Jacksonville. Go to
Do
fucking
it.
London. Go to
Do
fucking
it.
Timbuktu, man.
Do
I don't
it.
Give a shit. Kiss my ass, Chargers. Fuck off, Dean Spanos.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Tom Telesco. And motherfuck you, you coaching staff, you pieces of shit, because you suck ass.
And there you have Chargers fans. That's where Chargers fans are at. So, if you're a Browns fan, you know, if you're a Jacksonville fan, if you're a Tampa Bay fan, maybe if you're a Cardinals fan right now, you're kind of worried. It could be worse. You could be this guy. You could be a Chargers fan that lives in, that can't afford to live in Southern California, so he lives in Vegas. And this is probably why the guy can't afford to live in Southern California, because he refuses to pay for DirecTV, but then opts to pay $150 every weekend to watch the Chargers, which doesn't really make sense. That's like spending $2,000 to watch the Chargers when you could just pay DirecTV the $400 right up front. But again, that's probably why you live in Vegas. You're obviously not that good with your money, Chargers fan. But I found that, and I just was like, that pretty much sums up the state of mind that I've talked to most Chargers fans. That's exactly how they feel. They're just kind of over it. They're like, yeah, it was nice. It was cool having the team here. We don't really want you to leave, but you've kind of already bled us dry, and we really don't have that much more to offer you financially as a fan base. So you can take that if you'd like to. We'd like you to take it, but you don't want it. So unfortunately, you're going to have to move on. All right, so coming up here, let me see here. I got this. So I'm all set up here, and what I mean by that is I've got what I consider a studio here. I've got the real mic mount, so I can go hands free. I've got the computer hooked up. which is a distraction at this point, but hold on with me. Hold on with me. Okay, so anyway, coming up right now, we're gonna go to Davey Wester. He's a longtime friend of mine. He's been stuck in Minnesota. Not stuck. He just moved there a month ago, and I've been giving him crap about it. But he's a diehard Mariners fan, as I mentioned earlier, and he's stuck in Minnesota. So we're going to go to Davey right now.
Oh, yeah, that can happen. Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Yeah.
Up north is a vacation. Wood ticks, mosquito bites. Another losing season for the Twins, the Wolves, the Vibes. In summer, roast your buns off. In the winter, freeze your brain.
Oh, sure.
Eat hot dish every other night. A fish fry bingo game. There's a pothole in every lane. There's one. Yeah, you betcha now. We're living in Minnesota at the Legion downtown. They dance the waltz and polka.
All right, we are back on Sportsaholics, and we have our favorite Mariners fan, Davey Wester, who now lives in Minnesota, on the show. Davey, I wanted to just have you on. You guys came this close to the playoffs again this year, and I was pulling for you. I mean, are you hurting? I mean, it came all the way down to the last 2 days of the season.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was hurtful. Iwakuma is not a clutch pitcher, obviously. I mean, you can't give up five runs and then hope to win. I mean, they made a good run at the end. I mean, I still think Cano should be in the MVP race. You know, we'll see. He got what, 39 home runs and 103 RBIs for a second baseman.
Yeah, those are good. I mean, those are good stats. Those go up especially for you know, a second baseman. I know the. Compared to Whit Merrifield's three home runs and 22 RBIs for the Royals, and you know most everyone else's second baseman, minus Houston, are pretty offensively horrible. You know.
Yeah, no, I mean, let's be honest. You know,
let's be honest.
The Mariners were in the playoff contention, even though they didn't make the playoffs. And they don't get as far as they do without Cano. A lot of people say Trout should be MVP, but he had a good year, but he didn't have his best year, and the Angels were horrible.
Horrible.
I mean, yeah, and Cano, I mean, we lost Felix Hernandez. We had revolving pitchers. Looking back at it, I mean, the Mariners, Edgar Martinez is proving himself as a good hitting coach. I mean, so there's a lot to look forward to, you know.
I'll remind the listeners at home, this is what Davey not only said in 16 now, but in 15 and in 14 and in, probably in 13 and 12, and let's not forget 11. it just seems to be the reoccur. I mean, and that's good. Look, you're a baseball fan. You're a Mariners fan. How do the Twins fans stack up? And I know the Twins are not only down, but the worst team in baseball this year. Now, you recently relocated to the Midwest, and how do the Twins fans up there in Minneapolis, St. Paul, compare to Mariners fans? Are they knowledgeable? Are they good baseball people?
They're actually better fans because, I mean, we're in playoff contention. And the Twins fans come out, even though they won, like, whatever, 70 games or 60 or whatever. We were in playoff contention. I was kind of disappointed with the Mariner fans because, man, look, you're in playoff contention in a stadium that holds 50,000. There's no reason to have 23,000 people there. It should be sold out. Maybe
stadium's right downtown. I mean, they sell at the soccer games, and
yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is, like, I'm so used to a load of disappointment with the Mariners, to be honest with you. I feel bad for Felix Hernandez, you know. I thought, you know, I think if they lost the next day, but I think he just wants to play playoff baseball. I'm not even talking championship. I mean, we lost Felix Hernandez for a good part of the year this year. We'll see. It's baseball, so you never know. I think certain teams are on the way down as far as, like...
The Angels aren't going any... I mean, really, their pitching is horrible. And, yeah, they've got Trout. Pujols is good for 90, 100 RBIs somehow, but that's just because that's how good of a hitter he is. He can still power in, you know, 25 RBIs. I mean, Pujols is really starting to look like he's going to be one of the best of all time offensively.
Three stable hitters. We'll see if they dissipate. But you have Nelson Cruz, who hit 40 again. And to the Orioles fans, you're welcome for Mark Trumbo, because we gave Mark Trumbo up for Wade Miley, who we ended up trading. So,
Your Mariners have never been one to come out on the good end of a trade, it seems like, over history. I mean, what's the one trade you always bring up? It's not the Lonnie Chisenhall, or it was back like 10 years ago. It was like your top prospect. And it was
For Adam Jones. Yeah, Eric Bedard for Adam Jones.
Yes, there you go. You got a real you got a really nice Orioles bond right there between GMs. There's a Baltimore Seattle love going on right there. So, okay. Now, I'm going to switch it up a little bit since you're surrounded by Vikings. How are Vikings fans? I mean, so you're a Seahawks guy, grew up in Washington, and now you're around all these purple people eater / here's my Dante Culpepper throwback jersey / I love Adrian P. I hit my kid with switches /
they like their cheese
Randy
curds
Moss.
And their fucking, the cheese curds must have melted their brains or something, because here's the reality. I was at the bar, I was hanging out, and somebody asked me if I was a Vikings fan. And I said, no, I'm a Seahawks fan. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm like, why are you sorry to hear that? Because we won our championship and we have a consistent winner? Because they're getting a little cocky about this 3-0 start. Here's the reality. Sam Bradford is going to be out in week 10 because of a broken leg, a broken finger.
Anything. It could be anything.
Yeah. He's a good quarterback, but, you know, the one thing that was kind of stupid was I was hanging out at the club, whatever, and one of the Vikings fans goes, Cardale Patterson, who's from Tennessee, volunteer, whatever, he goes, he's the best special teamer. I'm like, in the NFL, and I want to remind you, Vikings fans, you spent the first round draft pick on the not an elite receiver, but a special teamer. Steve Tasker was a much better special teamer, and he was an undrafted free agent.
Now, we have a lot of young listeners. Who the hell is Steve Tasker?
Okay, he was he was Devin Hester before Devin Hester.
Okay, but he's with the Bills.
Yeah.
Back in there, yeah. Oh, you know. Well, there's an ESPN documentary about that. But so they're getting kind of cocky, 3-0 start. They got a big game, you know. As we're recording this tonight, listeners, the Monday night game hasn't played out. Let's assume they'll win that and go to 4-0, and then your life will become even more of a living hell.
Well, no, I'm betting on the Giants tonight, man. Betting on the Giants.
Okay. So. Now, where can the listener find your work? You recently launched a website and your Twitter account. What
Well, my Twitter account is DavyWester1. You just type in at DavyWester.
Is that DAVEYWESTR?
Yeah, one.
One, okay.
And that's my Twitter. And then we DavyWester.com. We will be launching videos, Moments with Davy.
Nice, nice. Okay, so you'll just so you pretty much get to complain about the Vikings fans, but you know, online.
Yeah, well, no, more about you know,
or whatever, whatever it may be.
Whatever upsets me at the day, like it could be politics. It could be, you know, I mean, I might try to find a team because I don't have a basketball team, so I might try to bond with the Minnesota people with their Timberwolves and maybe their Wilds, their hockey team. But as far as football, they're, I mean, I just, like, they're like the Vikings, the Kings of the North. No, you're not the Kings of the North because you never won a championship.
Well, yeah, and there's no other. I mean, if they're going for like the north, like the Northland, the cold tundra of Minnesota, it's like there's no other teams up there anyway. So go ahead, have your championship of nothing, by all means.
You know, well, the Packers have a few. They're in the north.
Well, no, I know like the Northern Conference, but I'm sure it's like the ad is probably the Kings of the North is probably like a play on, like, you know, Minnesota being cold as shit and in the North. You know what I mean? Like, they're playing.
Yeah. Well, they're proud of their raping and pillaging history of a Viking.
Yep, that's right. That's right. That's what. Nothing more to get behind. Better than, you know, just good old fashioned looting and pillaging.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's, they pillage. I mean, it's. I mean, granted, I mean, now I don't have to listen to the Gophers lost to Penn State, so I don't have to listen to about the Gophers winning the fucking national championship anymore. That was the most retarded thing I've ever heard. Like, they were, and the other thing is, the sports radio hosts out here, well, the Seahawks are falling off. We're 3-1, all right? You have one more win than us. Blow it out your ass.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that's just thrilling play-by-play sports talk up there in Minnesota. Yeah. So before we get out of here, just a reminder real quick, DaveyWester.com, DaveyWesterTer.com, and then same thing with the number one following for Twitter.
The Twitter, just remember, on Davey Wester, so there's a one at the end.
Davey.
So, yeah, follow me, ranting and raving.
And Davey's a good guy. We've done a lot of shows all around Washington, actually, up and down the coast together. But really funny guy. And also, you can check out you got a YouTube page too, right?
Yeah, that's Davey Wester.
Davey Wester also. Okay, perfect. Well, hey, dude, thanks for coming on. And I look, when the Seahawks are. I don't know.
How you feeling,
8-9? 8-9?
You guys got crushed last night, bro.
Yeah, I got no expectations. Look, we got no offense, and I know that, so I'm not trying to, like, get hopes about some sort of morale. Look, here's how it goes. If the Chiefs make the playoffs, it'll be like they always do. They'll back in, or they'll just be slightly better than everyone else in a below-average division when everyone else is having a down year. You know, it always plays into the Chiefs' favor, like when we make the playoffs, but then you get exploited because it's the playoffs, and when you can't go anywhere, and everyone's like,
it's gonna back in this year though, bro.
It's like, oh, it's Alex Smith. It's Alex Smith. And I'm just like, yeah, but they're not drawing up the plays. Alex Smith isn't, I know he's like limited, but it's not him. I mean, just call different plays. Just anything beyond seven yard pass is what I'm, but anyway, we'll talk about this later. Davey, thanks for coming on. Go to @DaveyWester1 on Twitter and on DaveyWester.com and on YouTube. But, yeah, man, enjoy watching being surrounded by Vikings fans tonight.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's at least that, it, you know, I understand misery. The Seahawks used to lose 35-14 or whatever, too.
So. Oh, yeah, the glorious Cortez Kennedy.
Steve Largent days, yeah.
Yeah, running Ricky Waters days.
Chris Warren, Jim Thorne.
Yeah, they had some good squads. I remember in the 90s, yeah, they were definitely, and the Colts weren't nothing back then either. But, all right, we'll talk soon, all right?
Me old fiddle when the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddles. Life ain't nothing but a funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
When the work's all done and the sunset low, pull out the fiddle and the rosin up the bow. Kids are asleep, so I keep a catalogue, and thank God I'm a country boy. I'd play Sally Gooden all day if I could, but the Lord and my wife wouldn't take it very good. So I fiddle when I can, work when I should, and thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
All right, so that's Davey Wester. That's on Twitter. That Davey Wester, one D A V E Y W E S T E R. And Davey's a longtime friend of mine, really funny comedian. DaveyWester.com. Also, check out his tour schedules, which for the most part, I think in the next few months will be in and around the Midwest. I know he's dipping down to Chicago here next week. So check that out. You know what? It's been a fun episode. I haven't talked to Davey in a while, and you know, to get Chris on the phone again, talk Royals is always one of my favorite, always insightful. But again, just can't forget about Vin. This was Vin's week, even though there was a lot going on in baseball. This was Vin's week, and so as I promised at the beginning, we're going to end this episode with the last top inning that Vin announced or called in San Francisco last week. But first, real quick, guys, thank you so much for spreading the word here at Sportsaholics, getting the word out on iTunes and Stitcher. Listenership's going up every week, which is that's you. You guys are helping that out by just like, hey, listen to this. Hey, check this out. Yeah, traffic sucks in the morning. Oh, yeah, check this out. They've got some good stuff on. I'm just trying to get it out every week on Wednesday. That's what I'm doing. And I mean, this came out on Wednesday. It might have been late. It might have been the afternoon. I'm sorry for you East Coast guys. Yeah, it might have been 9 o'clock at night. But for us West Coast guys, that's still relatively early. That's 6-ish. You know, it's not too bad. But what I'm saying is, thank you, listeners. Thanks for coming back every week. And I'm going to continue to pump these out on Wednesdays. And we'll just do that. But guys, thank you so much at Sportsaholics, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. And here's Vin. Here is Vin Scully's last minutes of a 67-year broadcasting career right here. These are the last minutes. Enjoy.
Sportsnet LA is brought to you exclusively on Spectrum. Oh, what a great picture. Sandy Koufax and my pal Jerry Doggett. Jerry and I worked together for 32 years. And of course, we interviewed just about everybody on site, but it was always a big thrill talking to Sandy Koufax. As we go to the ninth inning, it broke the news as Sergio Romo tries to finish up for Matt Moore. Andre Ethier, who has made the roster for the first series, the best 3 out of 5 against Washington. Ethier's at the plate. And a strike. Romo right now has assumed the closer role. He closed last night in a tough game the night before Casilla closed up. Andre promptly banks it into left field. Base hit. So that's exactly what Dave Roberts thought. He was talking about the quality at-bats that Ethier has had. So Andre comes up with the single, and the batter now will be Austin Barnes, who is batting in Seager's spot. I've always thought it was attributed to Dr. Seuss, but apparently not. It's still a good line. And it's one certainly I've been holding on to for, well, I think most of the year. Here's Barnes and Romo ready in the first pitch to Austin, taken for a strike. The line is, don't be sad that it's over. Smile because it happened. And that's really the way I feel about this remarkable opportunity that I was given and I was allowed to keep for all these years. 0-2 the count. I said goodbye at Dodger Stadium. I'll be saying goodbye here in San Francisco shortly. my little modest message and wish for you will be right after the game. 0-2 the count. Barnes lifts one to left center. That'll be Spann going on the dead run and makes a superior catch. Wow! Denard Spann. Boy, it's tough out there in center field. We've seen some great plays by Peterson and Spann, and boy, that was a dandy. Barnes hits it deep. It looks like Spann's not going to catch up, and he does, tumbling, rolling over, holding on to the ball. So Austin Barnes loses a base hit. Yasiel Puig, the Wolves are all over him. He's popped up, struck out, grounded out, made an error. Fouls it away in the count 0-1. There was another line that a great sports writer wrote, oh, way back in the 20s, A.J. Liebman. And it said, the world isn't going backwards if you can just stay young enough to remember what it was like when you were really young. How about that one? Ground ball foul. 0-2, the count to Yasiel Puig. Giants 7 runs, 16 hits, no errors. The Dodgers 1 run, a meager 4 hits. Thoroughly stopped by Matt Moore for 8 innings. And for the Dodgers, 1 error belonging to Puig. 0-2 the count. 41,445 ready to roar to the sky. 0-2. Romo Deal slider swung on and missed. Down goes Puig, so he goes 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts. And they love that. So the Dodgers are down to their last out. The Giants are thrilled to the core. Their fans are ecstatic. And the Giants are going to New York. It'll be Madison Bumgarner and Noah Syndergaard, and the Dodgers will be heading Wednesday to Washington, D.C. Romo ready. Foul back by Rob Segedin, who flied to right field in the 7th inning. So the totals for the Giants, 7 runs, 16 hits, no errors. Great job by the left-hander Matt Moore. Once again, left-handers giving the Dodgers a bad time. The Giants will have beaten the Dodgers 8 out of 10 here at AT&T Park. They will have beaten them 16 out of 20 here since last year. Strike one pitch, runner going, foul back by Segedin. Everybody up now. Deep here, ready to run towards second base, and the Giants are ready to run to a celebration. Andre off the bag, Romo out of a stretch. Strike two pitch on the way, runner going, and it's a slider down and away. 1-2 the count. For the Dodgers, Turner had a hit. With two out, Gonzalez had a hit. With two out, Grandal had a hit. That was the run. And they didn't have another hit until here in the ninth. 13 in a row had been retired. Segedin takes low. This crowd is bursting at the seams right now. Two balls, two strikes, two out. Boy, 489 consecutive sellouts here at AT&T Park. All right, big pitch coming up. Romo out of a stretch. And the 2-2 pitch on the way. Sergio Deal slider hit in the air to left center. Coming over is Pagan. He puts it away. And the Giants are the wild card team. The city is going wild, appropriately enough, and they are heading for New York. No runs, one hit for the Dodgers, who managed to leave four men on base because they were the only four they got on base. The Giants in the Western Division are 45-31. The Dodgers are 43-33. So inside the division, they certainly were the better team. That was awfully nice. The umpire just stood up and said goodbye, as I am saying goodbye. 7 runs, 16 hits for the winning Giants, 1-4-1 for the Dodgers. The winner, Matt Moore. The loser, Kenta Maeda. I have said enough for a lifetime. And for the last time, I wish you all a very pleasant good afternoon.
Many years ago, a little red-headed boy was walking home from school, passing a Chinese laundry, and stopped to see the score of a World Series game posted in the window. The Yankees beat the Giants 18-4 on October the 2nd, 1936. Well, the boy's reaction was pity for the Giants, and he became a rabid Giants fan from that day forward, until the joyous moment when he was hired to broadcast Brooklyn Dodger games in 1950. Ironically, October the 2nd, 2016 will mark my final broadcast of a Giants-Dodger game, and it will be exactly 80 years to the day since that little boy fell in love with baseball. God has been very generous to that little boy, allowing him to fulfill a dream of becoming a broadcaster and to live it for 67 years. Since 1958, you and I have really grown up together through the good times and the bad. The transistor radio is what bound us together. By the way, were you at the Coliseum when we sang Happy Birthday to an umpire? Were you among the crowd that groaned at one of my puns? Or did you kindly laugh at one of my little jokes? Did I put you to sleep with a transistor radio tucked under your pillow? You know, you were simply always there for me. I've always felt that I needed you more than you needed me, and that holds true to this very day. I've been privileged to share in your passion and love for this great game. My family means everything to me, and I'll now be able to share life's experiences with them. My wife Sandy, our children Kevin, Todd, Aaron, Kelly, and Catherine, along with our entire family, will join me in sharing God's blessings of that precious gift of time. You folks have truly been the wind beneath my wings. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining me on this incredible journey of 67 years of broadcasting Dodger baseball.
You know, friends, so many people have wished me congratulations on a 67-year career in baseball, and they've wished me a wonderful retirement with my family. And now all I can do is tell you what I wish for you. May God give you for every storm a rainbow, for every tear a smile, for every care a promise, and a blessing in each trial. For every problem life seems a faithful friend to share, for every sigh a sweet song and an answer for each prayer. You and I have been friends for a long time, but I know in my heart that I've always needed you more than you've ever needed me. And I'll miss our time together more than I can say. But you know what? There will be a new day and eventually a new year. And when the upcoming winter gives way to spring, oh, rest assured, once again, it will be time for Dodger baseball. So this is Vin Scully wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon wherever you may be.